Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood on the Eshcast.
On Tuesday, the J-pop and alternative hotspot hits your eardrums on No Borders, No Race.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, with the Live Issues program's post-episode recaps on live right after your favorite shows and taking all of your questions.
It's going down each week, only in the land of Ash. Nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo. October is here, which means fall is in full swing. This is the time of year where I love to gorge myself with fresh-picked apples and eat and drink anything apple cider-related, because pumpkin spice is for pussies! It's also that time of the year when my neighboring town of Salem, Massachusetts goes apeshit crazy due to tourists coming into what we declare to be the Halloween capital of the world. Because, you know, we burned and drowned a lot of people because we thought they were witches. Oh, 1692, you were such a crazy year, one that I'm glad I wasn't around to bear witness to. You know, I actually remember being at this dedication ceremony from the memorial that was placed in Danvers for the 300th anniversary of the infamous witch trials. Danvers, yes, because back in the old days, Salem was a much bigger town, so big that it covered what is now known as Danvers and Peabody. Sorry, I keep finding myself having to say this shit every time people ask me where the actual trials happened. I'm trying so hard to kick that habit, but, you know, tourists, they can be pretty dumb and annoying. Like, those who wear the black pointy hats who try to, like, fit in with the rest of the Salem townsfolk. But I'm going to attempt to be nice this year to the tourists out there, especially with our buddies from Sushi Mami Ray visiting and performing on October 18th at Koto Salem. So, yes, I think all of us on the North Shore area should put on our smiles and show these tourists a good time. Even though they cause lockdowns in the center of the city and make it a hassle to drive in and out of town. Anyways, let's get this episode rolling. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all of these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We're going to start off the show with a B-side from Penguin Research's recent single, Button, which served as the opening theme to the summer anime series, Relife. This is Brave Me.
ただ一つの明日。 れほど変わってもどれほどなくしても話さずいたんだね僕が持ってあること時にはなぜだかひどく傷つけ合ったのどっちの痛みも知ったから僕は生き延びた跳ねた泥傷跡知らず汚してしまうけど今も光って色褪せないこの瞳が全てありがとうねえ僕がいたからそこに一つもただ一つも物語が紡がれたどうやら僕しかいないんだよ僕の世界をどうか作って傷だらけのこの手で愛したっていいんだよ誇っていいんだよ僕がたどり着いた僕だけが手にした今日だ
革命前夜の空を誰もが見ている さ。ボロボロでも俺は飛べるぜ。
2005's Howling Idol album, that was Stunts Punks with Aoi Yummy. If you find yourself in Japan throughout this and next month, you can catch Stunts Punks on a mini tour throughout the country, including a couple festival spots. For more information, visit stuntspunks.com and have someone who can read Japanese help you out from there. Well, folks, it was bound to happen, but I'm happy that it occurred sooner rather than later. Days after playing two sold-out gigs in front of an audience of 110,000 people total at the Tokyo Dome, it was announced that the minions of the Fox God, Baby Metal, will be invading televisions everywhere. First, it was video games with their own Super Mario Maker level and a couple of their songs on Rock Band 4, and now they're heading to a small screen near you and their own live-action animated hybrid series. A partnership between Warner Brothers Blue Ribbon Content Studio and Amuse USA, the series will be action-based, with the storyline focusing on the world of heavy metal music being under attack. The Fox God calls upon Baby Metal to work together to both save the world and redefine the genre. The show will also have original live-action performances from Sue Metal, Yui Metal, and Moe Metal, who will enter the animated world via a magical portal. So it sounded like a little dose of the Aquabats Super Show with some Metalocalypse and a little bit of another show I'm about to mention. Because a big reason why I'm hyped about this series, besides, you know, it being a fucking Baby Metal cartoon, is who is overseeing their cartoon. Besides the troupe's producer Koba Metal, helping out with the series will be Warner Brothers Animation president Sam Register. For those who don't remember, it was Sam who in the early 2000s was very instrumental in helping out to create the cult classic series Hi Hi Puffy Amiyumi. Yes, it didn't last as long as some of the other hit shows that were on Cartoon Network at the time, like Teen Titans, Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, or Camp Lazlo, but it was still an awesome show. Just casualty of being a series with humor going over most people's heads, you know, like Time Squad was. But I am super stoked that Baby Metal are getting their own series. Hopefully it takes some cues to some of the Maho Shoujo or Shoujo Senshi series of Japan. Let's the girls do their own voices instead of getting Americans to just take over. And have fun with the group's mythos rather than take it way too seriously. Also, make sure you have Rob Halford play the Metal God. You can't have this show without Judas Priest's Rob Halford. Seriously. Now, incidentally, while this is Yui Metal and Moe Metal's first time being animated, it'll be the second time for Sue Metal. You see, in episode 40 of the 2008-2009 anime series Zettai Karan Children, or Psychic Squad as it's known in the US, Sue cameos with her very first idol group, Karen Girls, who incidentally did the theme song for the series. Yes, this kinda breaks with the whole suspension of disbelief aspect, but it's a nice little tribute for all of you to hear. Because let's face it, this is awesome. I am super stoked about this Baby Metal cartoon, and I hope all of you are as well. Now, as for a band whose suspension of disbelief is nearly impossible to break, you know, seeing as all the members are masked without main names save for the lead vocalist, you have to look at the next artist that we are about to spin. They're called Ghost, and their latest single off of their recently released Pope Star EP is surely the Halloween anthem of 2016. So get your devil horns up and swear allegiance to Papa Emeritus III, because this is Square Hammer. We'll be right back. Yanagi with their recent single Meimoku no Kanata, which served as the ending theme to this summer's animated adaptation of the popular Berserk manga. A second season will be premiering this coming spring, with some hopefully better animation this time around. Now, some folks that follow both B3 and Wicked Anime know we really, really love the Sanren Kagura video game series. We awarded this year's PS4 version of Esol vs. a perfect 5 stars thanks to its fantastic and long storyline and incredibly fun multiplayer mode. Now, it's looking like Sanren Kagura will be coming back to the gaming realm very soon. On October 6th, which is 2 days from now if you're listening to this on this podcast premiere date, the latest issue of Japan's popular gaming magazine Famitsu will have all the details regarding the new Sanren Kagura game. However, series producer Kenichiro Takaki revealed in a Nico Nico livestream event a couple little tidbits about the game. Specifically, he showed an image related to it. This picture features the character of Yagyu in a white bikini holding a squirt gun. Again, this is all the info Takaki revealed in the live stream. Well, also that he wants to do a VR Sanren Kagura game, which is something I'm totally for. So what could this image be? Well, I'm going to make a couple wild guesses, even though it's going to be all revealed in a couple days. But you know what? Tell you what. On the next episode, we'll revisit this topic once everything has been brought to life. Seeing the character of Yagyu in a bikini, it does somewhat bring back the beach episode vibe that Estival Versus had. However, I personally don't think that this will be placed in that story arc, or rather in that universe, seeing as that storyline kind of wrapped up everything nicely. Now, considering the emphasis on the water pistol, I'm going to guess that the next Sanren Kagura game could be one of two things. And they're kind of the same answer, but one is more specific. It could either be a water sports-based fighter with battles and minigames, or something that I would be really cool with, it could be a third-person shooter fighter with Splatoon-like elements. You know, with magical water that removes all clothes as it goes along, because it's Sanren Kagura. So, either way, or none of these ways, as it could be something entirely different from what I'm guessing, I am stoked that we're going to be getting some more Sanren Kagura badassery, and I hope all of you gamers out there listening are too. And if you haven't yet, please pick up Sanren Kagura Esol vs. on either the PS4 and PlayStation Vita. It is seriously a super fun game. It might be for a specific demographic, but if you have a good sense of humor, you will really enjoy it. Coming up, we've got a little drum and bass punk action from Moja, and this comes off of their 2009 self-titled debut album that we rewarded 4 stars to on our website way back when. This is Rollercoaster. from their upcoming EP, The American Dream, that was The Foreign Resort with Onto Us. The Danish post-punk trio are just wrapping up a US tour and will soon head back to the studio to work on what will be their upcoming album. News broke that the beloved Cartoon Network series Adventure Time will be wrapping things up with their 9th season, which is set to air in 2018. Its 8th season is set to air very soon, with the final one set to go into production in just a little bit. You know, it may be sad news, but it's great knowing that a series creator can think of a great endgame right when it's necessary, rather than letting it be stretched out to death like, you know, The Simpsons and Family Guy have. Now, I myself have been following the series close to its beginning origins. I think I really started watching the show right when it was revealed that the series had a very dark underlying past, especially with the Ice King, or Simon as his real name wound up being. The characters, the animation, the writing, and especially the music Adventure Time showcased has always been some of the very best television America has presented in the last few years. And heavy cameos from the likes of Weird Al Yankovic, Emo Phillips, George Takei, Henry Rollins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and Lena Dunham has helped to add to its cultish flavor and uniqueness. So here's my question. How does it end? Do we simply have Jake and Finn go on an adventure and be it just like any other day in, you know, kind of like a Calvin and Hobbes type of way? Could Marceline and Princess Bubblegum finally get back together just like my fanfiction says they do? And what if the Land of Ooh? We were treated to an alternate reality of the series had the Lich never existed, but is there more to the past besides what we've seen in the Marceline-Simon flashbacks? There are many directions this series can go in, even the one some fans really believe in, like that concept of Finn actually being in a coma, and this is all just in his head. Which, by the way, is a very, very dark ending, but it would be surprisingly fitting. But you know, with Adventure Time, The Amazing World of Gumball, and Regular Show wrapping up, it's going to be seen as the end of an era for Cartoon Network. Uncle Grandpa too, but it hasn't been around as long as the other three. Clarence as well, but who really cares about Clarence? All that will be left are Steven Universe and We Bear Bears, and Mighty Magic Swords is too new of a series to judge, although I have been liking its Slayers-like vibe from the characters. So yeah, all these great series from Cartoon Network are leaving, so who knows what's gonna happen next? Maybe this is why we're getting the Baby Metal cartoon now rather than later. But we've got 2 more years of Adventure Time before it all ends, so let's just be thankful for that. We have a couple more years of adventures with Jake the Dog, and Finn the Human, and Princess Bubblegum, and Marceline, and BMO. It's gonna be okay. We've got a couple more years of goodness ahead of us before they close the curtain on Adventure Time. Right now, let's spin something recent from the Pillows, who I'm actually surprised didn't get their own cartoon. I think they would've, but alas. From this year's Stroll and Roll album, which we awarded 4.5 stars, this is Koko no Su no Shikade.
Okay.
nice little rock and dance number from Gogo Nana Ichihachihachi. That was Manatsu no Danso from 2007's Goroku-Kyu album. The band disbanded back in 2012, with vocalist and guitarist Yumi Nakashima now focusing on her side project, Chirinuru Wawaka. Although seeing that this is her main band now, I don't think labeling it as a side project is highly accurate. With the summer season ending, and the fall one roughly beginning later this week, I found myself stuck in a gap with nothing really to watch. So via a recommendation from a friend, I began watching an anime series on Crunchyroll that aired back in 2011. Its title is Kimi ni Todoke, or From Me to You, as its English title is known. So here are a couple quick thoughts about this show. Kimi ni Todoke focuses on a high school student named Sawako, who is nicknamed Sadako due to her likeness to that being of the ring's infamous ghost. Sawako has a hard time making friends until the popular guy in class, Kazahaya, starts to chat with her. Soon more people like Ayane and Chizuru find themselves getting along with Sawako as the character slowly blossoms from the shy loner to the center of attention. Of course, a romance angle is thrown in between Sawako and Kazahaya because this is a high school anime dramedy after all. What I like about Kimi no Todoke is how relatable Sawako is as a character, especially if you're kind of a shy person like I can be. Her misunderstandings are humorous, but at the same time, you kind of feel bad that she has a hard time reading people. Fortunately, her new friends have her back, helping her along the way when it's certainly needed. Some of the more physical humor helps to ease the more dramatic moments, especially those that involve Sawako being bullied. But I found this series to balance the humor and drama very well, in a very similar way that Honey and Clover did over a decade ago. As I mentioned, you can catch Kimi ni Todoke on Crunchyroll, and if you really love it, you can grab it on Blu-ray from NIS America. You can also read the original manga, which is being published by Viz Media. It's a great series that I highly recommend checking out, one that, had I actually watched it when it first aired, would have certainly been featured in my Top 50 Anime of the Last Decade series that I posted back in July. Oh well, can't take it back now. There's also apparently a live-action film, but it hasn't been licensed yet, and I'd personally be interested in seeing how they adapted it into a movie setting, seeing as there's so much story stuffed in the 38-episode series, and, as of this recording, 26-volume manga. On a unrelated matter, a little bit of news that just popped up. Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is probably one of my favorite shows this summer, probably the summer show you gotta watch, has been renewed for a second season. So if you wanted more puppets beating and killing each other, you got your wish. So excited. Right now, let's pour a large drink because Skinny Lister are back with the new album, The Devil, The Heart, and The Fight, which we just gave 4.5 stars to in our review. They'll also be touring the U.S. this fall, and we will be at their November 7th show in Cambridge at the Middle East. This new song is called Injury.
Chance. You found the gambler in me, it was. Give it up.
their 2005 album Echo Park, that was Advantage Lucy with Tui He. While it's been 8 years since they last released new material with their Tobitata Nanato no Chotaki mini album, Advantage Lucy still continues to perform live across Japan. Here's hoping new material surfaces sooner rather than later. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa-sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck, on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at kingbabyduckesh, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/omnistryinc. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade and on facebook.com/landofesh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Druk, and Nerd Crave. Promotional consideration for this week's track from The Foreign Resort, made by Shameless Promotion PR. Always a pleasure discovering new music from you guys. Once again, don't forget about our next convention we'll be at, which is another anime convention, happening October 14th to 16th in Manchester, New Hampshire at the Radisson Hotel. Myself, Wicked Anime, Anime Jam Session, and maybe a few other familiar faces will be there, as well as voice actor guests Matthew Mercer, J. Michael Tatum, Christopher Smith, and more. It is going to be such a blast. Today, we're going to be ending things with a singer who has finally resurfaced after 6 years, Hikaru Utada. Her latest album, Phantom, was just released all around the world, even making it onto the American iTunes Top Album Charts, ranking at number 3. I was actually listening to this album on a walk the other day, and it's actually fantastic. A true return to form for Hikaru Utada. Accompanied by Shino Ringo, this song goes by the name of Nijikan Dake no Vekanse. And until next time, this is your King Baby Duck Kevin Bargo reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps. Closet no oku de nemuru doresu hakareru hi wo matsu hai hiru monogatari no wakiyaku ninatte daibutsu kihi ga tatsu isogashii kara koso tama ni ikinuki shimashou yo isso hade ni asa hiru ban to ganbaru watashi tachi no escape omoi tanda ga kijitsu imasugu ni tsurete itte 2 hours dake no vakansu nagisa no temae de suzuki nante dare mo kikitaku nai yasashi nichijou wa ishite no tame ni danda
ですもの砂の上で頭の奥がしびれるようなキスして今日は授業をサボって二人きりで
guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.